down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded from the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This was the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
It is good for us to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we're thankful for you being here on this morning. But most assuredly, we are thankful for the members of the Lord's church here at the Ninth and Main congregation. We're thankful for you being here because it is because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we are here. And the reason why I say that is because if Jesus Christ would not have died and purchased the church with his blood, all of us would be dead in our sins. And for him, we are eternally grateful. We understand that the world is looking at this particular day as the day of the resurrected Christ. But as the Lord's people, we're so thankful that we remember our Lord's death every Lord's day. But that could not have happened. The cross could not have happened if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would not appreciate the cross without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to put your marker there at Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6, because we'll come there at the end. We're going to be looking at some passages as we study our lesson on the wisdom of the resurrection. That one, Jesus Christ, was crucified, the Lamb of God, according to what John said in John 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was God the Father that prepared our Lord a body for the suffering of death. As a matter of fact, the reason why he had a body, according to Hebrews 2 and verse number 9, is that he may taste death for all men, for us. Isn't it ironic that when we consider what John said in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, Jesus died for all mankind. When we consider this man Jesus Christ and the suffering that he went through, Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 12, 52 and verse 14 rather, that his body was marred. It was beyond recognition. We think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he went through for us, friends, that ought to give us great, great gratitude. For it was his body that was hung on a tree, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. Friends, I think about Jesus Christ, and I hope you are as well. Because it's because of him that we live and move and have our very being. It's because of Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. For the forgiveness of our sins, Colossians 1 and verse number 14. It's because of this great man, Jesus Christ, that suffered, bled, and died for us, that we have an opportunity to worship our God and Father in spirit and in truth, John 4, 23 and 24. And friends, no one can approach the Father unless it's through Jesus Christ, John 14, 6. We come to worship our Father, and we offer spiritual sacrifices holy to him, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5. We worship our God, and we honor him because of what he has done, who he is, and where we're going. Because of that, we are eternally grateful as the Lord's people. People are fascinated by today. As a matter of fact, consider, communion is observed by some today for the first time in maybe a year. Children get their baskets, clothes are bought, commerce is up, cottontails are hopping, confetti eggs being burst on people's head. Churches are full and, oh yeah, we'll remember Jesus as we go. But friends, there's wisdom behind the resurrection. There's wisdom behind Jesus Christ suffer, bleeding, and dying on the cross for our sins. Yea, the resurrection. When we consider the word resurrection, it literally means to stand up. To stand up from the dead. I considered that particular definition, especially from a biblical perspective. And I thought it was pretty interesting that when we consider the resurrection and when we make the connection here in a few minutes as it relates to standing up from the dead, we need to stand up from the dead of sin in our personal lives. We'll look at that here in a few minutes as we continue to elevate in this particular lesson. The Bible teaches us that many did not understand the resurrection. As a matter of fact, the Sadducees, Jesus would talk to them often, according to Luke chapter 20. They did not believe in the resurrection at all. In Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 40, Jesus confronted these individuals, the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, and he gave a very awesome illustration. As a matter of fact, it is in that awesome illustration that Jesus confirms that men and women will rise from the dead. If you will turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, verses 29 through verse number 33. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 29 through verse number 33, I want us to take consideration of Jesus' response to the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. If you notice, verses 29 through verse number 33, Jesus tells these religious leaders, these men, if you will, you are mistaken. You do err according to the King James Version, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor given in marriage, but they are like angels of God in heaven. Now notice what Jesus says here, friends, as it relates to the resurrection. That when the resurrection takes place, there will not be any marriages. I won't be married to Evelyn in the resurrection. In heaven, I will not be married to her. As a matter of fact, when we consider this, Jesus says that we will be just like the angels. Isn't it ironic that the Bible teaches us, Brother Braswell, in Psalm 8, verse number 4, Hebrews 2, and verse number 9, that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you visited him, you have made him a little lower than the angels. The reason why he said that, Brother Dennis, is for this reason. Angels don't die. Jesus had to come in the flesh to die for man, Hebrews 2 and verse number 9. But Jesus makes this very powerful point to these religious leaders. And notice what he says in verse 31. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, you have not read, or have you not read, what was spoken to you by God saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Friends, we understand that there will be a resurrection because we understand that when Moses was at the foot of Horeb, you remember the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and remember what God told Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground in which you stand on is holy ground. And remember what Moses told God. He said, what do I tell the children of Israel when I go to your people? Tell him that I am, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know what God was teaching? That Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were definitely alive, just in a different realm. Just as in a different realm. Friends, the Bible teaches a resurrection. Yes, we want to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and rightfully so. But friends, when we consider the resurrection, there is going to be a life after death. And many people live as if there's no life after death. But we as the people of God We live as one. Jesus, look at John 11, verses 24 through verse 26. I love this particular passage here because it's very powerful in its own right. Here we find something that Jesus says that is worthy of our consideration. You remember Martha and her brother died. And remember the distress that she was in. The Bible teaches us that Mary was crying. The Bible teaches us Jesus wept. And you remember when we see in this particular passage, Jesus asked her a very pointed question. And her response, Lord, I know he will be raised in the last day on the resurrection. Jesus said in verse number 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice the text there, friends. Though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, verse 26, and believes in me shall never die. Notice the question. Do you believe this? Friends, do we believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? He is the resurrection. And the reason why he is because God gave him the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. And if God gave him the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, he'll sure enough give him power to raise us from the dead of sin. But well, no, let's make a point here. In Acts chapter 17, look at verse 30 and 31. As we continue to just make these quick little points, as we make our way to Revelation chapter 20, I want us to continue to make this point because there's always going to be those who don't believe in the resurrection. But praise be to God that we do. But keep in mind that Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead is because God was the one that gave him that power. God was the one that raised Jesus from the dead. In Acts chapter 17, starting in verse number 30, truly the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere, notice, to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, here it is, by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Now, this is the reason why I want to make this point. The reason why Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead is because God was the one that was going to be raising him from the dead. God was the one that had the power to raise the dead. Jesus was the one that obtained his power from the Father to raise him from the dead. And we know that they work together, but we see that Jesus is the one who is called the resurrection and the life. We must believe in that resurrection. We must believe in that life. He is our hope. He is our stay. But then, the resurrection. And Jesus has that power to raise men and women from the dead. But there's a reward because of the resurrection. Go to Luke chapter 20 now. We referred to it earlier, but I want us to go to it right now. I want us to notice a couple of passages in Luke chapter 20. In Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through the end of the chapter, we're not going to read all of that, but I want to make a quick point as it relates to this particular text. You drop down to verse number 35. Verse number 35. And the reason why we're not going to read all of this is because this is the same account as Matthew chapter 22. But notice this particular point that Jesus brings out, or that Luke brings out, that Jesus said. In verse number 35 of Luke chapter 20, notice what the Bible there has to say. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age, he's talking about the age to come, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Now, notice the point that Jesus makes to these religious leaders. Those who obtain or are worthy to obtain that resurrection, worthy to obtain that afterlife. Question, friends, are we worthy of it? Now, the answer that we would give would say no. But Jesus said that there's some that are worthy of it. Question, am I worthy of this age that he's talking about? And am I worthy of the resurrection from the dead? We have to labor. We have to watch our hearts. We have to guard our minds. Turn to John 5, 28 and 29. We're all over this Bible already. And I haven't even gotten to my message yet. I'm just warming up, Brother Scott. We're just warming up. I haven't even pulled out my rag yet to start sweating. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, notice what Jesus here has to say. Here he's talking about the judgment. And friends, we will not have a resurrection without the judgment. We will not have a judgment without the resurrection. They go hand in hand. And notice what he says in verse 28 and 29. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life." Notice one type of resurrection. "And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Question, which one will we be raised to walk in? Which one will we be raised to live in? The resurrection of life or the resurrection of death? But I want us to keep in mind that because we have something to look forward to, and because we can be worthy of the next age and resurrection from the dead. Friends, we can be worthy of it. But sometimes we listen to people who don't study the Bible, who don't read the Bible, and they say, "Well, I'm just not worthy of it." Yes, you are if you're living right. Yes, you are if you're covered by the blood of Christ. And yes, you are if you have been raised from the dead of sin. But then notice, there's a resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this is probably where everybody wants me to be real quick. Go to Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, remember after the cross and the scourging that Jesus endured. Remember the attitude of the apostles and how they were hurt and how they were bothered to the point that as they was thinking about not having their Savior, their friend, their Lord, their guide, their King any longer, they were discouraged. We see that in John 14. But here we see something that ought to excite every last one of us. As the people of God, because we understand as Christians, and if it wasn't for this particular situation, we ourselves would have no hope. If it wasn't for this situation in writing, we ourselves would have nothing to look forward to. Notice in verse number 1, "Now after the Sabbath." Now friends, the Sabbath is Saturday. Okay? Today is Sunday, the first day of the week. That's a very key point, because some even say in the religious world that Jesus was raised on the Sabbath. No, Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Notice, as the first day of the week began to dawn. Isn't it ironic that we're here on the first day of the week? In Acts 20 and verse number 7, we come together to break bread on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 and 2, we lay by in store, meaning that we give to the Lord on the first day of the week. Isn't it ironic that the preaching of the gospel takes place on the first day of the week? Why? Because God raised his son on the first day of the week. And when the church began in Acts chapter 2, it was the first day of the week. The first day of the week. So here we find Jesus as he is being raised from the dead. It's the first day of the week. And notice what the Bible there says. "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Come see where he lays.'" Beautiful text right there, Brother Pope Joy. You know why? Because they knew that he was in that grave. But God raised him up. And the very fact that God raised him up, that gives us hope. The very fact that God raised him up, that gives us life. The very fact that God raised him up, that gives us a smile on our face, knowing that we got something to look forward to. You know, it's interesting that one event can make one very sad, and another event can make one very happy, very glad. I'm amazed at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let's transition into one point here. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, there's a purpose for this resurrection. This is where the wisdom comes in right here. In Acts chapter 4, we see something very powerful. We see that the resurrection is connected with preaching. It's connected to the proclamation of the word. It's connected to getting the word out. I want to encourage all of my brothers and sisters in Christ here at the Ninth and Main Church that you seek someone out to talk to about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because everyone ought to have an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, about the forgiveness of sins, about how they can live a resurrected life. Look at Acts chapter 4, starting at verse number 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that he taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Hold on. What was their message? Their message was Jesus Christ and Him being raised from the dead. Why should I believe something like that? In 2017, we seek to believe that particular message. But keep in mind, during the first century, that message was not a message of popularity. As a matter of fact, they didn't want to hear that particular message. Go to Acts chapter 17, and let's look at this as we illustrate this point even more so. In Acts chapter 17, notice what Paul says here on Mars Hill. We already read verses 31, but notice verse number 32. God gave assurance of this, raising him from the dead, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, verse 32, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed among them. Notice, friends, I want us to make a point here. That when we teach and preach about our risen Savior, there's going to be some that's going to say, "Yeah, that's a good message." And then there's going to be some, "Can I hear some more later about that?" And then there's going to be others that's going to say, "You know what, I don't hear nothing else. I don't believe a word you're talking about." Brother Popejoy, has that ever happened to you? It has happened to me. Don't get discouraged. Continue to teach the message, Acts 4 and verse number 2. Don't get discouraged, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Continue to live the right life. But here is where I want us to spend a little time. Go to Romans chapter 6. Brother Popejoy is probably saying, "When are you going to get to Romans chapter 6? I'll get there, Brother Popejoy. It's my lesson. I'll get there. I'll get there. I want us to take notice of this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has great wisdom behind it because of this right here. What use is it for Jesus to be raised from the dead if we don't take his life, add it to our thoughts, our mind, our conscience, our hearts, and live it out? In Romans chapter 6, notice what your Bible there has to say. I love this particular passage here, friends, because Paul is making a very interesting point to these brethren who are trying to go back under a system or live under a system that they shouldn't be living under. But notice what they say, Paul says here. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Of course not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Now notice Paul's point here, friends. He said, we die to sin, meaning that our lifestyle is not about carrying on the lifestyle of the devil. It's not carrying on the lifestyle that we used to carry on, but it's a different lifestyle. Notice what he goes on to say. "How shall we who had died to sin live any longer therein? Or do you not know that as many of you, us, have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized what? Through baptism and his death." Just as Jesus Christ died on that cross, put in a tomb, buried, God raised him up on that third day. showed him openly to all, to over 500 brethren at once. When we die to sin, listen, and we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into his death, and we're raised, Brother Braswell, to walk in the newness of life. Hold on. We see a death. We see a burial. We see a resurrection. If you have been baptized into Christ, you are to be living a resurrected life. That's why Jesus was raised from the dead, to show us how to live, to take on his mindset. And no wonder the Bible teaches us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why should we have a resurrected life? Because of our mindset. We have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 16. We're thinking like Christ. We're living like Christ. We treat each other like Christians. Why? Because we have a Christ-like mentality, a resurrected mentality. We are resurrected from the dead, which means, friends, this. I don't want to think like I used to think. Or, I'm a Christian. I don't want those who don't think like Christ, come on, y'all come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, to cause me to think like them. One of the hardest things to do is to continue to think like Jesus. Because we have so many things pulling us and influencing us. Go to Romans chapter 6. Let's finish that up. Look at verse number 3. Pope Joy, read that. What does the Bible say?
Know you not?
Know you not?
As for many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
were baptized into his death.
Read.
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Uh-huh.
That life of Christ was raised from the glory, or from the dead by the glory of the Father.
Listen to this.
Even so we should also walk.
Listen. Listen to this, friends. We praise God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to praise God that we have been raised from the death of sin. Question. What type of life are we living right now? Are we living the life of Jesus Christ right now? Are we living that life that God desires for us to live, which means that I put away that type of thinking that causes me to go astray, that causes me to mistreat my spouse, that causes me to mistreat my parents, that causes me to mistreat the brethren, that causes me to mistreat the world. I'm always trying to bring people into Christ, closer to Christ. Why? It's all about the doctrine of Christ. And only the Word of God will teach me how to live a resurrected life. Only the Word of God. There's nothing else that's going to teach me how to live the resurrected life. I don't care what college you go to, I don't care what books you read, unless you get into the mind of God, you will not have or think like the resurrected Christ. Turn to Revelation 20. I said all that to say this. It's interesting that Jesus, as he is talking to John the Revelator by way of the angel. Keep in mind, Christians are under immense persecution. Some say Domitian, some say Nero. I believe it's Domitian. Nevertheless, here's the point. You go through all of the chapters, and when you focus in on chapter 12, you'll come across the serpent, this dragon, this devil, this accuser of the brethren. He's the one that's trying to take the brethren out by accusing them before God. You have the same language in Revelation chapter 20. You have this dragon, devil. You have this one that's bound, if you will. H. Leo Burroughs has something interesting to say about this being bound, this devil, this dragon, being bound for 1,000 years. He likens it unto a mad dog, a rockwalla that's on a chain. And he said this, Brother Dennis, he said, you'll never have a problem with the rockwalla that's on a chain unless you go inside the chain where the rockwalla is. Did y'all get that point? Here's the point. if the chain, if the dog is chained up, stay away from the dog. But if you go in the vicinity of where the dog is, he's going to get you. Here's the point. The resurrected life is all about staying away from the dog that's on the chain. I can easily have named this title, Beware of Dogs. Why? Because Satan is chained up. He's bound up. And the only way that we can get in trouble with the devil, we got to go to him. Question. Living the resurrected life, we don't have to go to him. We keep going to our Father. Bible teaches us that if we draw near unto him, he'll draw near unto us. We have to constantly and consistently be looking within our lives, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Making sure that we're the people that we need to be so people on the outside can see us and say, how can I be more like you? How can I think more like you? How can I resolve conflict like you resolve conflict? How can I do those things? Through the Word. Look at Revelation 20 real quick. Let's look at this. I'll let you go. It's interesting. Notice what the Bible says. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. That's interesting right there, friends. And a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. Hold on. Whoever this angel is had enough strength and power and control to take the devil and bind him up. We're not even talking about Jehovah. We're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about an angel. Which means that, friends, and I don't understand why certain people, I saw this picture online one time, and they had the devil wrestling with God. And I put, man, that's foolishness. The devil is no match for our God. You know why I say that? Because it was the devil that put, it was God, I'm sorry, that put the devil out of heaven in Revelation 12. What does that teach us about God? That if God had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, he has the power through his word and our submission to keep us out of the hands of the devil. That's good preaching right there. Y'all go ahead and smile. Smile, Dennis. That's good preaching right there. You know why that's good preaching? Because sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes we don't believe that. We believe that the devil has more power than what he really has. He has no power. He's bound. He's in a bottomless pit. We win. Why? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. We win. So when a person obeys the gospel, there's no reason for that Christian to ever die and be lost. None. We stay with God, we win. Let's keep reading. Y'all looking funny. Verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, they who sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their right hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here's the point. Have you been raised from the dead of sin yet? Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Have all of your sins been washed away so you can take part in the first resurrection? So you don't have to worry about death, the second death. And there's one coming. And more gospel preachers have to do their job in making sure that the church is properly prepared for the second death. so we don't have to worry about it. If you're a faithful Christian, you don't have to worry about the second death. You don't have to worry about it at all if you're faithful. But if you're not, we want you to get faithful. Faithful to Christ. Faithful to the church. Faithful to God. Be faithful. But if you're not a child of God, this is what needs to happen. You need to understand that you have to die to sin so you can be raised to walk in the newness of life. Because one day, Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back for his church. And when he comes back for his church, we're going to meet him in the air. And when we meet him in the air, we're going to be with him throughout eternity. But there's going to be some, Brother Pope George, that's not going to meet Christ in the air. They're going to experience the second death. Revelation 20, the latter part of it, 11 through 15, especially verse 15. The second death is eternal separation from God. You know, that even hurts me to say that. It hurts me to even say that. Because God does not want anyone to be lost. God wants all men to be saved. And I think if it hurts me to say it, I know it hurt God to say it, to even have it written. But it had to be said because God wants all men to be saved. Question. Have you been raised? Have you been raised out of sin? If not, why don't we make a decision to do that? But if you have been raised, but you've been walking the dead life, let's not do that. God went through much by sending his son, raising him from the dead, that we can live the resurrected life. If you're a child of God, you need special prayer, let us do that for you. If you're not a child of God, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, meaning turn away from sin. Confess Jesus Christ, meaning you confess him before men. He said, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And be baptized into Christ, where you will come in contact with the blood of Christ, where you receive all spiritual blessings. You'll be added to the church. If you live faithful, you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's what we want to hear. And we want to avoid that second death as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.